9 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Guthrie, 909. In service and on the air. This is Sergeant Bruce Guthrie of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, a tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here's our chief, James B. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
The job of a police officer is your protection. The cases you hear on this radio program are real cases. The police are real. The victims and the criminals are real. We are glad to provide Unit 99 and Sergeant Guthrie so that you will hear how the police of a great city work night and day for your protection. Make no mistake about it. There are no actors on these tapes. They are real from beginning to end. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Bruce Guthrie on duty.
Unit 5. 1611 22nd Street, near the alley. Check out some juveniles acting in a suspicious manner.
1611 22nd Street, near the alley.
Check by 1007.
Suspicious boy in the vicinity of 22nd and P Street. We've assigned a unit to check him out. We'll cover him, see if they find anything. We're in the vicinity of the call, near the mouth of the alley. The unit hasn't arrived yet. Man walking down the street. We'll check on him and see what he has to offer. Good evening, sir.
I think there's somebody over there hiding on the porch over there. I'm not sure.
On the porch of that apartment house, sir?
Right over there. And he was standing over. He's been standing in front of the place, and there's only one now. I don't know. Maybe he belongs there, but he walked over to my car, and when the car showed up, he went up there and disappeared. So I think he's hiding right up on the porch right now.
Okay, we'll go over and take a look.
All right.
Long Trip, Owen Car Report.
7-11. Standing up on the apartment house porch. Hello, son.
Yeah.
How are you doing up here?
I was just waiting for a friend of mine.
Waiting for a friend of yours?
Yeah. Me and another guy, we were just waiting here. We thought you were somebody else.
What were you waiting for?
Just a friend. She lives right there.
How old are you?
13.
Does she know that it's after curfew?
I just live about a block away, so I was just waiting for her.
You've got no business being out here at this time of the night.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Does she live in this apartment house?
Yeah, right there.
Is she supposed to come out here and meet you?
No, she's CYO, and she's supposed to come over here.
She's what?
She's at the CYO.
Well, she hasn't come home yet.
No, she hasn't come home.
You know, of course, that you have no business out here at this time of the night.
Yeah, I understand.
And you don't have any business hiding on front porches.
No, it just scared me.
What did you go down to that man's car for?
Down to whose?
The man who called us.
No, I didn't go down to no man's car.
You were down by his automobile, or he wouldn't have called
us. Honest to God, all I did, I was just standing right here. Went over there, came right back.
Come on up, fellas. The squad car officers have arrived. Acker and Mooney. You want to talk to this boy? I think you talked to the citizen already, didn't you?
Well, we found out that he was the one that called in. We didn't find out just exactly what was taking place yet.
Well, as we pulled up, he told us that this boy had been down by his car. There had been another boy with him. When he came over towards the car, the kids ran and hit, and one of them hit on this porch, and he believed that the boy was still here. When we came up, he was crouched down behind this little railing here.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he was waiting for a girl. You want to go ahead and question him?
Now, how many fellows were with you, first of all?
No, just me and another friend, but we didn't go next to the car. We didn't even touch the car, and I don't know what the man said about us, but I just been sitting here all the time. I didn't even go across the street.
What are you doing out this hour of the night?
Just waiting for a girl.
How old are you?
13.
You're supposed to be home at 10 o'clock?
I didn't even know it was that time or not.
It's almost 11 o'clock now. 7 minutes to 11.
I didn't even know it was that time. I guess time flies.
Mm-hmm. Your parents know you're out?
Yeah, she knew. My mother and father, they're divorced, but my mother knows I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Now, does she allow you to be out after curfew, after 10 o'clock?
No, I didn't know it was that time. I just been sitting here, and I guess... But I didn't go across to the man's car, because I ain't got no business with him. I don't touch nobody else's property, not mine.
You ever been picked up for anything?
No.
Never been in trouble?
Never.
You sure?
No. I ain't even got a record or anything. I never do anything bad.
Well, you keep staying out after 10 o'clock and you're going to start building them.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with this boy?
Well, I think we'll take him home. Advise his parents, find out why he's out so late. And turn him over to them, as long as it's his first offense with, or his first run-in with us. We'll let it go at that.
You want to make an interrogation card on him so we'll have the information?
Oh, yeah.
The unit has arrived at this boy's home. We still have the boy in the car. We're going to go in and see what the mother has to say about the boy being out after 10 o'clock. Find out anything more while you were talking to him?
No. Reviewed the same
Mom?
Thing. He comes up with the same answers pretty consistently.
Mom? Open up. Hello? Mm-mm.
Hello.
I told you, honey, I had thought you were being sweet.
Did you have any idea that you...
Yeah, he tells me he goes to the club,
mm-hmm.
which well, he does.
That's what he told us.
Yes, he's, he's
no
pretty good at that. But he's been going with some kid, and I don't know whether it's his idea to stay late, and I was going to put a stop to it tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, does your like boy usually stay out after 10 o'clock?
No, not as late as this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were wondering if you knew that he...
He
was out.
He goes with some
friends. If he usually stays out this late, he says normally he's in bed by 10 o'clock.
Yes.
More or less checking what he was saying.
He goes out twice during the week to the club.
To the club.
Mm-hmm. And during school days, he plays baseball.
Is he usually home by 10 o'clock when he does go to the club?
Oh, well, sometimes he says it's difficult catching a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I tell him to get an early start. I don't.
Has he ever been in trouble?
No, he hasn't.
That's so fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, keep up the good work.
I think you ought to tell the mother what the boy was doing so that she won't worry about it.
Yeah, well, he was around the corner here over to, on the front porch of the girlfriend's house. He said he was over there.
Yeah, he
wanted to
see her.
Huh?
He says he sees some girl.
Oh,
he's a girlfriend.
Yeah, well, he said she wanted him. He wanted her to help him with his schoolwork.
Yeah,
he was on the front porch.
Well, the boy made one mistake. He was hiding from the officers when we got there. He was hiding down
well,
on the front porch. And that isn't what a good boy does. He has nothing to fear from the officers. He doesn't hide from them.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean to, but he's never been in trouble, like I said.
You realize, of course, that if you let the boy go out after 10, you're responsible for him.
Well, I try to tell him, but it's pretty hard to keep boys this age.
Do you want your mother to get in trouble, son?
No.
If she can, you know.
How about these dances they have at the art term? Do they usually stay out late?
If a boy or any juvenile goes out to any place of amusement, they can stay there as long as it's in session. If it's a dance, they can stay until the dance is over. But when it is over, they're supposed to go directly home. Same way in this case tonight, the boy went to a juvenile teen center.
Mm-hmm.
And he left there in plenty of time to return home, but he didn't go home. And that's what got him into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The officers are going to turn him over to you tonight. He could be booked in juvenile hall, of course, and we want you to realize that. And he can get into serious trouble and start a record for him, which we don't like to do if it's anywhere
avoidable. In my opinion, I try to ask him to come home before 10, regardless whether it's a dance. But it's pretty hard to make this 10 a real life.
Well, I think if you put it to him that way, the fact that it's going to cause you trouble, and it'll cause you to be arrested, maybe he'll think about it.
Well, it's up to him because I don't. He tells me to. He goes out. I can check on him. You know.
How about it, son? You going to be home before 10 after this?
Same as usual. I always come home before 10.
As the officer pointed out, this boy, who had no police record, was on the verge of starting one by loitering around parked cars and hiding on the apartment house porch after the curfew hour. Equally significant was the attitude of his mother. She did not approve of his conduct, but indicated she had little hope of controlling his actions. If the boy realizes the situation and changes his habits, we will have one less juvenile delinquent to contend with.
Unit 56. 901A at 34th and L Lincoln, Code 3. Check 56. Unit 7. Box alarm at 34th and L 7.
That's a call for a traffic unit to cover an accident with injury at 34th and L. There's a fire alarm from the same location, so apparently one of the cars caught fire. We're some distance away, but it sounds rather serious. We'll go out there.
McAdams and Bender are the traffic units on the call. One car is damaged on the front. Where's the other automobile, Bender?
This is the only one, Sergeant.
What was the reason for the fire truck out here?
Well, the car was on fire underneath. They had to call the fire department and put it out. Evidently, this man either went to sleep or he's drunk. He's out unconscious right now. He just went to the hospital. He evidently went to sleep or passed out, and he ran wrong side of the street and hit the tree.
Clark, do you have any witnesses on this?
Yes,
we have one partial witness here, Sergeant. Just as we came up, this gentleman here approached us and said that he'd seen part of the incident.
This fellow here?
Yes. Hello there. Could you give me any idea of how this happened?
I get off from work here at 12 o'clock, you know, and we're laying a bender, the squealing of the tires. And I looked out the window there, and this fellow had flown through the stop sign evidently. I looked out, I saw the wife, as a light gun in, I guess, going to have a mid-end collision. But I looked out, and what he was trying to avoid is going up over that gutter, hitting that mailbox there on the corner.
That's just about a half a block away.
Just about a half a block away. So when he backed up, I thought, well, everything's all right, honey, he's safe. So he peeled off rubber and started again, and right about in here somewhere, he lost control of that car, and I heard crash. And I ran out, come down to the corner with no shoes on, my pajamas. I seen the fire, and my first idea was to go back, got my shoes on, and go back and notify that fire department before this car exploded. By the time I got my shoes on back out again, I heard the siren. I figured, well, evidently somebody's called the fire department. Everything's under control.
Anything else, boys?
Well, now here's an empty bottle.
Does it look dry, or is it anything in the bottom?
Dry and dirty now, but we've left the car over and can't find any alcohol in the car itself.
Did you see the victim before he left?
Yes, we bandaged his chin up and prepared him for the ambulance when they arrived.
How serious was it?
He seemed to have a bad cut on his chin, and his left leg was jammed under the dashboard and the firewall, and he seemed to have a head injury, apparently from that windshield crack. And we bandaged his chin. Now, there's a good possibility that he has chest injuries because I noticed the steering wheel is broken practically off. And forward, so it's a good chance he has chest injuries also. The impact on the tree was terrific. I would say that the tree embedded itself in the front of the car at least 2.5 feet, and apparently it's just to the left of the engine. It didn't shove the engine back, fortunately. It could have injured him much more seriously.
Where are you and your partner going, Mac, you and Bender?
I'm going to go to the county sergeant on this. Check his condition, see if we can talk to him at all.
Fine, we'll follow you over.
This is the emergency ward we're going into.
Oh,
Well, with the victim of this accident, he's on a gurney right before us. Checking him over, I see he has a injury to the forehead, nose, quite a bit of blood from the mouth, and a deep laceration of the chin. The young fellow is unconscious, husky boy. I would say that he was between the age of 18 and 20. I smell a faint odor of alcohol. He's breathing very heavily, as you can hear. Well, Mick Adams, what are you and Bender going to do now?
Well, Danny, here we find the boy is unable to talk due to lack of consciousness. We're going to put down the doctor's findings, and we're going to complete our report as far as we can and put on it a pending for the follow-up man to check with the boy and find out what he was doing and how this happened and why it happened.
Although there was evidence that this driver had been drinking, his injuries made it impossible to determine his degree of intoxication, and he could not be charged with drunk driving. He was cited, however, for speeding and reckless driving.
Unit 2. Unit 2. Check on two possible car clouds on H. Henry between 16th and 17th Street.
Unit 2 just got a call, possible car clatters, 16th and 17th on H Street. Let's go over and see if there's anything to it. Looks like they're parked up there at the corner of 17th and H. Door of the squad car is open. The officers are apparently out of the car. They're talking to someone. Yeah, and then two men. Looks like a couple of railroad bums. Let's get out and talk to them. Hi, man. What do you got?
Hi, Sergeant. Oh, the guy had it. They put out a possible car clouders, and these two men are walking right here in the vicinity. And we seen these two men a couple blocks over earlier this evening when we was coming to work, just walking around.
Where'd you see them?
Oh, about 9th or 10th. It was 12th, Walt?
8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
Find anything on him?
I stopped them.
No, nothing, Sergeant.
What's this gear laying on the ground?
That's my brief union all when I go to work.
That's your what?
I'm old union all when I go to work.
Where do you work?
I don't, sir. I'm just out picking olives and peaches.
Are you picking olives at this time of the year?
No.
How long has it been since you worked?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks. You want to know where I've been eating? Out in the mission.
Larson. Good place?
Yeah. Larson's mission. I don't have a thing.
Well, the officer's going to check you, whether you have the one or not. What do you got stuck in your belt there?
Wine, sir.
Where'd you get that?
Bummed it.
You're eating in the mission and bumming wine. You're in great shape.
Sorry. Very sorry. Where'd you get this life like? About that. And where at? What store?
Arville.
Arlen. Arlen, California. So it's still on there.
Something written on it?
Yeah, it has a price tag in it.
So what did you pay for it?
I think it was 79 cents.
You sure you haven't done touching the cars or anything, have you?
No, sir. Nope. Well, everything over.
What
did they say, Bob? Anybody see him touching him?
They just walked along with him over.
They weren't touching him, though, huh?
What are you doing up in this end of town?
Well, just... Sorry, sir. I'm a very bad beggar.
Have you been begging people tonight?
No. That's what I can't do, is beg people.
We seen you down 9th and 10th on I earlier tonight.
Right.
You were walking towards the West End then. Now you're up here.
Well,
about an hour and a half later.
You know what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
Well, I guess I'm stuck.
You guys want to take them in, or should we take them in?
Well, we'll do it. We'll do it. We're not doing anything tonight.
What are you going to do with these guys?
Oh, we'll book them vacancy, both of them. They've been roaming around this neighborhood all night, apparently. I guess they're going to plan on doing it, see what they can pick up, so...
Yeah, that's right. So we all
will. Then you admit that. You were looking at these cars, then, were you not?
No.
Huh?
No, just looking for people.
You were looking for people.
I stay asleep.
I'll give you a place tonight, then.
Best I can. He's a little deep here. We'll get a place to sleep tonight.
Oh, what?
Get a place to sleep tonight in jail.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't have to sleep out underneath the river anyway. Kind of butt you while I get to talking to him. I've been kind of rolling some guys out there underneath the river, kind of scared me. I'd rather stay uptown. I don't care. I'll sleep underneath the porch or any place. I'm broke. I can't help it, man.
You wander around out in the residential area like you're doing tonight, and you'll wind up in jail every night, so you better...
Well, I might as well make my home there. Well,
you might just as well. You're going to take him in and bag him then. Okay.
For homeless men like these, city and county jails have become almost a permanent residence. Each was charged with vagrancy and sentenced to 6 months in jail. But commitment was withheld on condition of good behavior for a period of 2 years.
This is Unit 99, presented in cooperation with station KFBK in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Be with us when once again you will hear...
KMA-907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA-907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
Unit 99, with Sergeant Dan Meredith in service on the air, will be heard again next week at this same time and over this same station. Join us then for another interesting on-the-spot report of actual happenings as they were tape-recorded by members of the Sacramento Police Department. The events described are real. The voices of the people heard are the actual voices of those involved in the police investigation. Police officers, detectives, victims... suspects. These are not actors. These are the actual people involved. Unit 99 is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.